Welcome to Brews Clues.
Welcome to Brews Clues, everyone.
We're back
for another week and another exciting episode.
Yes, and more exciting beer.
And exciting beer and exciting theories and, you know, talk at the end of the episode by yours truly.
Exciting chips, too. We'll do a pairing here later.
Ooh, yeah, we're going to tell you about our snacks that I was chewing and our drinks as we get into the end of the episode. But we're so glad you're here. How you been?
I've been good.
Yeah.
I thought you were asking
our audience,
friends. Like, yeah. How have you been?
How have you all been?
How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah. Girls, how are you doing? Girls and guys and
take
gals, theys,
care.
All of you out there. I hope you're doing well. We care about you, so please
we
care
do.
For yourself.
So well. Speaking of that, I was telling you earlier, I have a day off and I was like, I could clean the house or I could pack a sub and run away to the beach. So that's what I did.
Option B.
I packed my
Absolutely.
Chair.
B for beach.
And it is about 74 degrees right now.
It's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Out. Stunning.
The sun was shining, but it was a little cloudy, so not too much.
Oh, I'm there right now.
I had my journal. I had my sub. I had a little seagull friend watching me eat the sub the whole time, making me nervous. But he kept his distance, respectfully.
This is good. Yeah. I was in that moment right there.
Yeah.
I closed my eyes and I was at the beach with you. Well, not with you. I was adjacent, not looking at you. It wasn't creepy.
Were you behind me just
no!
staring at the back of my head? Are you just, you posted up like 50 feet from me and I'm like, hi, you could sit next to me. What are you doing?
I'm like, but I'm giving you space that you so desperately needed. And you got today, which was great. I'm really proud of you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love days like that. Take care of yourself, everybody.
For real.
Put off the chores. They'll always be there when you get back.
They certainly will. And even if you do them, they'll be there.
Again
the next day or 5 yeah. minutes later. Correct. If it's my house. 3 dogs, 2 kids.
Ooh,
and
busy.
And a toddler husband running around.
All right. Well, our story today really hit the news in early 2022. How is that possible?
This is the story that kind of brought us together.
How was it that long ago?
I don't know.
Makes no sense to me.
But
is that year right?
This, yeah, I think so.
2022?
It has to be. Early 2022.
New Year's Eve 2022.
Yes.
So it was New Year's 2023 when it really hit the news. Yes.
Yes, yeah. But we talked about it in 2022 because No, not the end of 2022.
I can't. I thought it was 2023 beginning when we talked about it.
Yeah, whenever it hit the news.
Yeah, because the story starts in New Year's Eve.
It seems like longer.
Well, it seems like too long, but yeah, time is weird.
It is.
So it's a story that's been really going on for quite a while. So we'll have an update episode on where we are right now, but I'm just really going to go through kind of the backstory of what happened, and you guys will wrap up our episode today after we do Crime on Tap and really talk about our theories and what's happened. So, okay, you ready to get started?
I am sitting back trying to get cozy here.
Love it.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, ready.
So it's New Year's Eve 2022 in Cohasset, Massachusetts. Parents Brian and Anna Welsh are getting their 3 young sons down for bed before their friend Jim comes over to celebrate the ball dropping into the new year. Jim arrives and they all celebrate with an elaborate dinner, champagne and toast to 2023 being their best year yet. Everything during the dinner and celebration seemed normal between the couple. Happiness and love filled the home. During the dinner, Anna shared with Brian and Jim that she had a work emergency requiring her to leave for her Washington, D.C.-based real estate job first thing in the morning. Anna worked in Washington, D.C. at a high-end property management company and would commute from D.C. To D.C. from Cohasset, Massachusetts weekly for her job. So she would get up, go to DC, fly to DC, work, and then come back home to Massachusetts.
She would fly every day?
Every week.
Oh, every week.
She would fly every week and then come home. And they have little kids, so three young sons. So she wanted to make sure she was at least home during the weekends for them. So by around 1:30 a.m., Jim, their friend, leaves the house and Brian and Anna head to bed for the night. Early the next morning, around 5:30 a.m., Anna reportedly packed up her suitcase, kissed Brian goodbye, and called a share ride to the airport. Anna is never seen or heard from again. So Jim last sees her at 1:30 a.m. Brian shares he last sees her at 5:30 a.m. New Year's Day. So I'm going to take you back to 2008. We're in the Berkshires of Massachusetts at a very high-end hotel. 24-year-old Anna Knipp was working as in guest relations at the Whiteley Hotel. She was married to Mark Knipp, the restaurant's chef. It was here that Anna met 32-year-old Brian Walsh, and in her words, it was love at first sight. After meeting, the two started a professional relationship at first, but it eventually developed into more. By 2014, Anna and her chef husband divorced, and Anna moved to Boston, where Brian was located. She married Brian on December 21st of 2015. Anna was drawn to Brian's charming smile, his thick head of hair, and personable, well-spoken nature. In many ways, Brian was upper class, and Anna liked that. He had attended boarding school, studied at top-notch universities, was a wine connoisseur, a concierge, and an art dealer. In an article about Brian in the Boston Globe, a family friend said he was obsessed with the finer things in life. He was well-informed, he was charming, he prided himself on being sophisticated. So he really had that personality that drew you in, especially if you were interested in kind of money and the upper echelons of society. Brian, you know, just had that personality about him.
He oozed Prada.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah,
he wanted to smell expensive as he walked by.
Smells greasy to me, but...
But there were red flags with Brian. He had a troubled upbringing with a neglectful mother and divorced parents. After boarding school, he checked himself into Austin Riggs, a high-end mental health facility in the Berkshires. Once there, he thought he would be able to receive the care he needed for his troubled past. But his time was cut short when his now divorced parents fought over who would pay for his treatment. And so basically no one agreed to pay for it and he had to leave.
That's co-parenting 101. You know, you don't put yourselves first in this situation. Your kid's trying to get help.
Yeah.
Mental health. I mean, this is really important.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like, let's discuss the bill later. Let's take it to court. Let's split it. Sure. I don't understand why.
Yeah. Let's get him what he
needs. Were the parents, did it say yet if they're well off?
I think they were well off enough, but I think when divorce comes along, it either
they
split
were fighting.
Assets and then you kind of sometimes can go down a level.
Yeah.
Or you really dig in your heels with who's responsible for what. And that sounds like what had happened here.
I think split it. You're both responsible. It's your child.
Yeah.
Split it.
It's not looking at what, you know, shoes he bought, he would have worn, or what car he drove. It's his mental health. So it's a pretty big red flag.
Right. Yeah.
Brian's relationship with his parents was strained, to say the least. And Brian and his father had been estranged for the last decade. His dad accused Brian of not returning almost $1 million from an estate deal gone awry.
That would cause some tension.
Yeah. So Brian's dad basically thought Brian had stolen money from him.
He had no proof. He just
kind
of, maybe Brian has had shenanigans in the past
that
he's dealt with. Maybe he just...
And historically, it kind of sounds like his dad clearly is concerned about money. Yeah. So he's making it like the main topic of these relationships and these families. And even if his dad had loaned him money, you know, I think Brian probably had a chip on his shoulder after the whole mental health facility fiasco where he basically couldn't get the help he needed.
So I would probably hold a grudge over that.
Yeah. When Brian learned of his father's passing in 2018, he flew to his father's home with Anna. There, they read a letter in the will written by his father, and it basically said, I hereby bequeath to Brian R. Walsh my best wishes, but nothing else from my estate. So basically the big middle finger to his son.
Oh, he died happily knowing that Brian was going to see that. He was like, just you wait.
Yeah.
Ooh, that stings.
So then the will that says that suddenly disappeared. And Brian, being the only son of his late father, appealed for the rights of his estate. And the court agreed.
Brian took it and wiped his booty with it.
Yeah, he sure did.
That's what happened.
He sure did. Yeah. The court agreed, and Brian soon started selling off his father's assets as quickly as possible.
Before they could change their mind.
That's right. So Brian was getting that money.
Yeah.
Because of Brian's reputation and probably years of stories, a friend of Brian's father had visited the estate a few days before Brian and Anna and had taken a picture of the will just in case. And that, my friends, is the end of the episode, because that is some sleuthy shit right there.
Boom.
And we're super proud of this guy.
Yes.
Just kidding. We're not done. But wow. I mean, take that as a hint for our you know, Bruce Clues.
That's one of our Bruce Cluesers or,
you know,
true crime fam there. Yep. Knowing so what to do, like, what's her name? Luz and Delamar with the plucking the hair and testing it.
Yeah, just had a feeling. Let's go with it.
All these things, man.
You never know. So the family friend sent the photos to the court, and Brian was relinquished of all his rights to his father's estate. But Brian's side of the story included a childhood of abuse and neglect from his father. So both things can be true at the same time, making none of the bad things that they've done right.
Yes.
But Brian also has a side. So Brian would tell his friends and Anna of this troubled childhood. And during the trial of an art fraud case, which Brian was ruled guilty of, Anna filed a letter on her husband's behalf, which stated, quote, a deep feeling of shame governed his life. He was taught to lie and hide. He was told that he was a loser, that his parents should not have had him, that he had no chances of making anything of himself in life, and that he was a lost cause. End quote. Anna wasn't open with many parts of her marital problems with Brian. However, so she didn't talk about her situation with Brian or
anything. Not like we do. Oh, watch out, hubs.
She never talked about her troubles with her husband. However, in December of 2022, problems surfaced between the couple. So we've gone through quite a lot of history here. Now we're kind of getting closer to present day.
Can I just say, it feels like the people with the biggest problems are the ones that don't talk about it. Like, the little everyday shit is normal and people talk, or even bigger stuff if you're having like a big conflict, but you have a solid relationship, I feel like people are comfortable talking. It could be the person, type of person you are too, but in general, I feel like if there's abuse and you know, so you're in a toxic relationship, those are the things, the people that don't talk about it, because they're
trying to
in denial,
they don't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't trust themselves. Like, once they open that can, then they won't be able to stop talking about it. Who knows?
They're scared, too. It could be because they don't want to bring anybody else into it. They don't want to get hurt if they find out that this person found out, then who knows?
So true. So in December of 2022, Brian may have started to become suspicious of Anna having an affair. So he had some things going on. So he would repeatedly check a male friend of Anna's Instagram profile. And that may have been back when you could see when people, well, you could see when people watch your story. So it could have been that going on.
Yeah.
There were different ways. Instagram's changed quite a bit since.
I know LinkedIn, you're able to see who viewed your profile or something. Yeah. But I don't know the beginning Instagram stages.
Yeah. December 25th, Anna made a desperate call to her mother, who lives overseas, to come visit her in the States. On December 26th, this is 2022, Brian's mother, under Brian's guidance, obtained and hired a private investigator to follow and observe Anna in Washington, D.C. On the early morning of the 1st of January 2023, Anna calls her mother, her sister, and friend after midnight, and all the calls go unanswered. So that's New Year's Day. They close out New Year's Eve with their friend Jim there. And then sometime between when they dropped the ball to when she went to the airport, she makes these three calls. Mm. No one answered because it's after midnight. And they could have just been to, like, you know, wish them a happy New Year. But
yeah,
we'll never know. but that's what happened. So she made those three calls. On January 4th, 2023, the employees at the firm where Anna worked, Tishman Speyer, called police to report she did not show up for her job, according to Cohasset police logs. And according to Brian Walsh's defense attorney, he called her workplace to ask whether they knew of her whereabouts before the employer called the police. This discrepancy or note may be because some reports say that the employees called Brian before reporting Anna missing. Either way, it's possible that Brian did not report or go in to check where Anna was. And it's very possible that the employees called first and then called Brian. It's also possible that Brian called them and then called the police. It's just a note there, but, you know, these little discrepancies can add up.
It just takes one little thing to be off for, you know, flags to be thrown up and look closer at somebody.
Right. So the Cohasset police went to Anna Walsh's home for a well-being check, and Brian Walsh spoke with investigators multiple times and provided a timeline for his actions and whereabouts on January 1st and 2nd. At the time of their interview, police noticed that Brian Walsh's vehicle had the back seats down and a plastic liner in the back of the car. Just a note. Put it in their note log.
So they had small children, but I usually don't travel with my children like that. You know, plastic lining on the couch. Okay, maybe, you know, grandma, it's fine. But yeah, rolling around. I don't know if they had animals. That could be a reason just to try and think. Somebody in the house could be allergic, or do they have two cars where they don't want to get one covered in pet hair, or
all decent, you know, explanations.
Or he was transporting. It's just the timing of it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm really trying, Brian, but
yeah,
you know,
we're here to just be witnesses here.
What if was he painting and he was like buying paint and putting it in his car? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Maybe okay, I'm crawling under. That. You can keep talking.
He might take you up on that. he's jotting notes right now.
I know. Listen, Brian, they could take that and they could test it. So thank you so much, but hard pass.
Put your pen down.
Put your pen down. Go back to jail.
Okay. So what was Brian up to from January 1st to the 4th when investigators visited the home and spoke with him? Brian Walsh told investigators that on Sunday, January 1st, he had a babysitter come over to the house around 3 p.m. to watch the children while he left to run errands. While out, Brian said he drove over to his mother's house about an hour away in Swampscott, but that his trip was longer than expected. Excuse the beer sounds.
Give a drink.
So while out, Brian says he drove over to his mother's house about an hour away in Swampscott, but that his trip was longer than expected because he had lost his cell phone and got lost along the way. So He's driving to his mom's house, which he's made this drive before, and he got lost.
Just does a big, Brian just have a early onset mark. Alzheimer's?
Just a big question mark.
Because my grandma, who was, 70, she got lost driving, but it doesn't seem like Brian should have any problem.
This is an interesting detail for someone who grew up in the area and visited his mother regularly.
I'm giving Brian more ideas. He's like, oh, that. Yes.
He's going to be our biggest fan. So Brian also said he visited his mother for about 15 minutes before leaving and running errands for her to both Whole Foods and CVS, eventually returning home around 8 p.m. that evening.
And his mom probably backs up his story no matter what.
So this is January 1st, Sunday. What investigators have discovered so far about what Brian was really doing that day? Well, his day started early, around 5 a.m. Brian uses his oldest son's iPad to Google the following searches.
Brian, you scumbag piece of human
dog. I haven't even read them yet.
I'm just saying, I know
you that shouldn't use your kid's iPad.
Something bad's going to happen right now.
I feel
it in my bones. Okay, hold on. I was going to say something. Hold on.
Holding.
Hold music. That's fine. That beer is actually the best. Okay. What did we say? You can't dress up shit. I don't know. Yeah. This is Brian.
Yeah.
With all your fancy shit.
His fanciness. Okay. So he's got, this is January 1st around 5 a.m. in the morning. He uses his son's iPad and this is what his searches found him. 4:55 a.m. How long before a body starts to smell? 4:58 a.m. How to stop a body from decomposing? 5:20 a.m. How to embalm a body? 5:47, 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to. 6:25, how long for someone to be missing to inherit? 6:34, can you throw away body parts? 9:30 a.m. So perhaps the kids woke up between 6:30 and 9:30, which tracks.
I don't want to play Roblox.
I'm hungry.
Can I have my tablet?
Yeah. Jesus. 9:30. What does formaldehyde do? 9:34. How long does DNA last? 9:59. Can identification be made on partial remains? 11:30. Dismemberment and the best ways to dispose of a body. 11:45, how to clean blood from wooden floor. 11:56, luminol to detect blood. 1:08 p.m., what happens when you put body parts in ammonia? And 1:21 p.m., is it better to throw crime scene clothes away or wash them? Police also search for video surveillance of Brian visiting both stores that he said he went to while running errands for his mother. And neither Whole Foods nor CVS near in Swampscott area show Brian in these stores. Brian then reported to investigators that on Monday, January 2nd, he took his oldest son to a local juice bar for a chocolate smoothie while the babysitter stayed home with his two other children, all of which the police confirm. Brian doesn't report any further errands or trips that day to police. However, once again, Brian isn't exactly truthful with investigators when they discover a surveillance video from a Home Depot. The video shows Brian wearing a surgical mask and gloves, making an interesting purchase in cash. He proceeded to purchase $450 of cleaning supplies, including mops, a bucket, tarps, and various types of tape.
He's like, this is what the internet told me to do.
Probably has all of my searches. Cleaning supplies, and okay. He's an idiot.
There's a couple things to unpack. One, is anybody answering these questions on the internet? Can you throw body parts away? Sure, man, go ahead. I don't know. Is that a blog? 10 ways to dispose of a body. And they have little ads on there like, yeah. Hi, I'm Lisa. Thanks for following my blog. Check out 10 ways to dispose of a body next on Pinterest.
Oh, gosh.
So also, you're looking up all this stuff on your kid's iPad. What if you leave a browser open. What if you... Oh.
Wow.
Aggressive fall. What if you get served up ads now? Like, did you need a morgue?
Do you need body-sized garbage bags?
Yeah.
Now your ads are all messed up and skewed. You're so right.
Oh, my God.
Formaldehyde is 2-for-1.
Formaldehyde. Local. Are you trying to become a medical examiner? Here's classes.
Yes. Okay. So he's searching for all these, or he's purchasing all these items. And police also discover a surveillance video of a man matching Brian's appearance walking up to a dumpster at an apartment complex. The man is carrying a garbage bag, which appears to be heavy by how he tosses it into the dumpster, according to prosecutors. He then travels to other locations in Abington, Brockton, disposing of items in various dumpsters. If this isn't suspicious enough, Brian was also busy back on his son's iPad that day, searching deeper into the internet with the following searches. So we've got a few more here. Hacksaw tool is a hacksaw tool best to dismember. What happens to hair on a dead body?
This was before or after he was doing his running around with the
this
trash
is January
bags.
2nd. So
this
now
is
we're day this is New Year's Day is when she leaves for DC at 5 a.m. according to Brian.
And that's when the surveillance with the trash bags and at the Home Depot.
That's Monday the 2nd.
Oh, okay.
So the 2nd is when he's out shopping for these items and he goes back on the iPad and starts searching up more things. So on the 1st, he starts looking up things at 4:55 a.m.
Okay.
So something's up. Okay. And then the next day, he gets back on the iPad and he goes deeper into the internet with what happens to hair on a dead body. Can you be charged with murder without a body? Can you identify a body with broken teeth? What is the rate of decomposition of a body found in a plastic bag compared to on a surface in the woods?
Please be more specific, Brian. Did you mean what is, you know, like
And
this
can
is
baking soda make a body smell good? I'm worried about you, Brian.
I am actually speechless. I really am.
Yeah, it's gut-wrenching.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's totally a lot. So police arrest Brian on January 8th and charge him with misleading police after an extensive search of his house and property. He was arraigned on the 9th and pleaded not guilty. On Monday, January 9th, the police continue to search for Anna and any clues that would lead to her disappearance. While searching, they recovered a total of 10 trash bags in the area of Peabody. Within the bags, they found towels, rags, slippers, tape, a Tyvek suit, gloves, cleaning agents, carpets, rugs, hunter boots, a piece of necklace consistent with one Anna frequently wear, Anna's COVID-19 vaccine card, a hacksaw, a hatchet, and cutting shears. The hunter
boots.
This
was the heavy stuff he was carrying.
Potentially. Yeah. He spread bags over multiple locations. So this is just a few of them. The hunter boots are consistent with the shoes Anna was last seen wearing. DNA from both Anna and Brian were found on the items in the bags. On Tuesday, January 17th, police charged Brian with the murder of Anna Walsh and dismembering a body. Okay. Currently, Brian is being held without bail because Brian is set to gain once Anna is declared legally deceased. His pretrial hearing is set for November 2nd, 2023, which has passed, which we'll owe you an update, everybody. So, at the time of November 2nd, or before that, he had not been charged with a crime. And just to note, he's innocent until proven guilty in the court of law.
But not in the court of Bruce Clues, crime on tap time. Pink.
Okay.
All right. So I feel for Brian. I do. I understand the childhood trauma, but everybody that has childhood trauma doesn't grow up to be a monster. And he was trying to get help. that's the part that makes me be like, maybe he did sense something dark and he went to try and get mental help and his parents just kept kind of shutting him down and not mm-hmm. taking him seriously. And but it doesn't excuse any of this. Like there comes a point where you just you thought this out. You're looking up stuff to cover it up. Like I just, this is leaving me speechless. I really don't have words because you have three young kids and that just kills me. Like they were probably little mommy's boys because they're knowing babies. How he was.
I mean, they were babies. So yeah, I mean, they were young kids.
And I'm assuming they're probably hopefully with family now and not split up. I think I read that somewhere that they were with one of their sets of parents.
Yeah.
Hopefully Anna's. I think so.
I think people tend to try to keep siblings together. Yeah. Especially in cases like this. So.
But yeah. Just, and then the fact that he laid it all out there with the searches, like Brian, you are leaving breadcrumbs to you. There is no way he's going to get out of this. And if he does.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah. I think that at the end of the day, I don't know if this case could have gone any different. Even if she had talked about it, because I feel like everyone in the situation was so tight-lipped mm-hmm. about, but even if she had, you know, sometimes you don't know the difference between a threat and what someone's capable of doing. And so even though she may have felt threatened, you know, she might not have quite understood what her husband was capable of doing. Or maybe she did know that, but she didn't really like, process it enough to go the distance to think that this will happen to me.
Right. And he could have never hit her. He could have never laid a finger on her, but it could have all been emotional and verbal. And then one day he just snapped. So yeah. It is not on Anna. It's never on any of the victims to talk or not talk or get help or not get help, because you have, I watched something today where they said, of course, there's a fight or flight response, but there's also freeze and appease.
Yeah.
Where you just sometimes don't do anything. And sometimes you just go along with whatever because you don't want to piss off the person you're terrified of.
Yeah, you've got kids there. I mean, you know, she's a mom. You just want
things to go smoothly. Yes.
Yeah, she's thinking about her whole household, not just herself. And she's thinking about what's going to keep the peace, what's going to keep my kids fed and
safe
and
too.
Safe and, you know, normal, quote unquote. So the other thing that I failed to mention in the story or the episode is the fact that Brian couldn't move to DC because he was essentially not on like house arrest, but he couldn't move out of the state because of that art crime trial.
It's like an ongoing thing.
Yeah, fully resolved. So he wasn't really permitted to move. And so she was essentially the breadwinner for their family. And she was traveling to this job every week because it was a great job. It mm-hmm. paid very well and it made the most sense for them. Then she was also potentially planning for him to spend some time in jail. And I think that was in some of the articles. You know, some of this is like information from friends or hearsay. But mm-hmm. basically, she was planning, according to her friends, kind of planning for him to be gone for quite some time or some time in general in jail and serving time for this crime. Assuming he was going to be convicted guilty.
Or, I bet she was looking forward to it. Like, it's a fucking vacation.
Oh, I'm sure this was her out.
Oh,
so,
my God. She was planning. She was getting her ducks in a row. And he just didn't go away soon enough.
And he knew that.
Uh-huh.
I think he knew that.
That could be mm-hmm. the final straw.
Yeah. So he knew she wanted out. She you know, she could tell him all day long that she didn't. But I think at the end of the day, he had already made up in his mind that she was done and she was cheating on him.
Yes. And he was probably cheating because that's what happens. You point fingers like without looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because you want to take the smoke off. Out. Yeah.
She was
the
smoke, take
the heat. I don't know.
Take his kids away, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so he had created this story in her mind. How much of that was in was actually intention, her intentions, we'll never know. But in his mind, he had created that story. So it's like he had justified violence towards her because she, in his mind, had already been violent towards him.
Uh-huh.
Like she had already left him. She'd already cheated on him. She had already taken his kids away. Blah, blah, blah.
He had abandonment issues and he was reliving his parents all over again. He saw like one thing that made him uncomfortable and ran with it and then just started seeing what he wanted to see and putting pieces where they don't fit and making them fit. Like,
yeah. What are you drinking? Yeah.
So we've had a few beers, but we, but not full beers. We've been like mixing and actually mixing. Mel mixed too, but we tested a couple, poured a couple samples. We have had tonight Hecto Cooler, an orange tangerine imperial sour. It says with orange tangerine and green algae.
Oh yeah, I've had green algae before.
In a beer?
It's a thing. You can put it in your smoothie.
Collab with South Nort Beer Company.
It's actually good for you.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's probably what makes it so green. It is like
it's very yeah.
Ecto Cooler
green. A lot of
green.
Times they'll do
it's
that for the blue coloring too.
Huh. That's like a healthy alternative to
food coloring. Yeah.
I kind of love it, but that's I never green algae.
Mhm. Yeah, that's a thing.
Blew my mind.
Will was going to put it in one of our beers. I was like all for it cuz
oh dang.
It's weird. But I actually bought a bag of it and put it in our smoothies for a while.
Oh, I'm going to try it. Okay.
It gets weird at my house over here. Like, you never know what's coming in your smoothie.
Mel's like, come over for dinner.
Chokes them down when he is. Well, you want a smoothie? And he like says, shakes his head no and goes, yes.
Don't tell him there's green algae.
Okay. We are, so as Lisa mentioned, we're drinking a plethora of things. You can't tell by this chaotic episode, but basically what I did, where did the bottle go?
Oh.
Okay, it's gone. There's a French toast beer, and then we also have, and they're both from Southern Tier Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's an Irish cream stout. So the Irish cream stout is pretty good, 5.8, but the French toast beer was an imperial IPA, and it had a higher alcohol.
It was not hoppy at all. It was very spicy. You could tell the spices. It was so much of the
too much.
Yeah. It tasted like you were not even drinking French toast. It was
you
like
were
syrupy.
In the face by French
it
toast.
It was yeah. French toast assaulted you.
Yeah, French toast owes me money. Okay, I'm just saying, or an apology letter. I accept. But what I did was I actually mixed the Irish cream stout with the French toast beer, and it was delicious. So, it's out of Lakewood, New York.
Southern Tier is really good.
Brewing Company.
They are the ones that have pumpkin, and that is my favorite pumpkin beer. And they have a few other good ones. They have Warlock, which is like a dark beer. Yeah. I can't think of how to describe it now, but I know it's a dark beer and it's very good too. It's high alcohol. But everything I've tasted from them have been. Okay. Now I'm questioning my words. Has been phenomenal. Not have been. Okay.
We also
had a blue beer that was called Blue Milk. And I don't know what brewing company it's from because Trey, husband, took the can and ran away giggling. Yeah,
pretty gross.
It was a lot. It was like it was bright blue. So if you've been to Epcot Disney World, they have Disney World, Hollywood Studios specifically, the Star Wars land. They have an area where you could buy blue milk and it's coconutty flavor. This had vanilla ice cream and I don't know, a bunch of other things. So it was very thick and just weird.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that one.
Mm-mm. No, we didn't like that one. No. And we're snacking on a Brett's Le Crispier Francais. It's potato chips flavored with goat cheese and espalette chili pepper.
Delicious. Very fancy.
It's from France, so get into it.
You know,
quick update real quick. I just I'm looking things up real quick on this case.
Oh boy, yes.
So the case is actually due back in court in March of this year.
That's so soon. So we're going to need to update.
Brian remains held without bail currently.
Good. He's in there.
And Brian's defense team argues that there's no motive for murder. And there was no body and no murder weapon.
Yeah, except all of your Google searches saying why. And then the murder weapon, like the hacksaw, did they test that for DNA?
Yeah. This is the tricky thing, right? It's like DNA only gets us so far. And so maybe.
I mean, they were married. It's their house. And you know? Also all of his $200, $400 worth of cleaning supplies, whatever it was, that took care of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfreaking real.
So that's the story. we feel like kind of passionate about this case just because this was kind of our starter case, and we're just re-recording, but we'll definitely do an update in March.
Yes, we need to.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, in the meantime, right. Everybody, you know the rules.
Dark in the room.
Bye.
Bye.